You're listening to the WILS Weekend Kickoff on more compelling talk radio, 1320 WILS.
Josh Helmholt from the Wolverine will be with us at 10 o'clock talking Michigan recruiting. Rico Beard from Fox 2 Detroit will be with us at 10:30 talking Michigan, state of Michigan recruiting, and then also Michigan State. But right now, joined down by WSMV Nashville Sports, Ian Rhodes is with us talking a little SEC, a little NFL. Ian, how's it going, man?
Great, Dave. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic. Did you get done with that little TV thing so you could join us? Appreciate you coming in 10 minutes late.
That's how I roll. Sorry about that.
All right, so I'm going to read you a stat here, okay? And I want your thoughts on it after I give you this stat. Okay, now, I went through all of them, Rivals, Scouts, Inc., and ESPN, and it was a general consensus. The Big Ten, two top 25 recruiting classes, none were a top 10. SEC, nine top 25 recruiting classes. How much should we look into that as far as the gap widening between the Big Ten and the SEC?
Well, first off, unfortunately, as much as I love recruiting day, it's a crapshoot.
Yeah.
So, who says that these kids are top 10? You know, that type of thing. But it does show where recruits think the gap is widening. You know what I'm saying? Recruits think the SEC is a better program. Is a better conference. And as long as recruits think it's a better conference, the gap is going to continue to widen. If schools like Michigan aren't traditional powerhouses right now, then it's even worse for the Big Ten. Because Michigan is a school that's going to get 4- and 5-star recruits. But when they're down they're not getting the 4- and 5-star recruits, SEC is still the SEC. They're going to get all those kids, and it's really going to widen the gap.
Ian, it's Scott here, and I was making the point of how much the media kind of rips apart the Big Ten. How much does that really play into account with the recruits now?
I think that has everything to do with it. That's, I think, 90% of the reason. 10% is the fact that the SEC wins big games and is always in big bowl games, but I think the other 90% is how much you hear how good the SEC is and how bad the Big Ten is. I think that has almost everything to do with it.
Now, what about guys from the state of Michigan, guys from the Midwest that are getting stolen by the SEC? Do you feel like they're having that same opinion about the Big Ten, or what is their reasoning for leaving the Big Ten country to come down to the SEC?
Two things.
And give me some examples, too, of some guys that have done that this
weather,
year.
Arnott, the kid that Tennessee just came and got from Saginaw, is a great example.
D'Anthony Arnett.
How does he get out of the state of Michigan with Michigan State and Michigan? How does he get past Ohio State? How does a team like Tennessee, who's 7-6, come all the way up to Saginaw, Michigan, and pull a kid out?
Do you have the cash register sound? Is that a possibility?
That would be, if he went to Auburn, you can give him that. Derek Dooley runs a pretty clean program. What he sells is the warm weather, he sells SEC football, he sells being on TV. Now you have the Big Ten Network, but until the Big Ten Network puts itself in a place where it's seen in every home, like ESPN is seen in every home, a college coach is going to tear that apart.
Okay, so give me some SEC schools that you were impressed. Obviously, we know the top recruiting classes and stuff, but some teams that you were impressed with this year as far as players going. Give me a couple of players to watch out for in the next couple of years in the SEC.
The two schools, and I'm not trying to be biased here, but the two schools that I saw that did the best job recruiting were Tennessee and Vanderbilt. And the reasons are they weren't very good last year. Both teams, Tennessee was middle of the road, but for Tennessee, was bad.
Yeah, they've been down the last couple of years for Tennessee.
For Tennessee, correct. And to go out and get 14 four-star guys when you're 7-6 is pretty good. Georgia, you know, they had a really down year, and they had the sixth best recruiting class, the number one running back, Izel Crowell, in the country, goes to a team that was terrible for Georgia. Mark Richt didn't even know if he was going to be the coach next year. And to get the six, you know, it just shows you the caliber of recruiting that SEC coaches have.
Well, how much of that is based on reputation of the team, and how much of that is on the coach then?
A lot of it is on the team, but when you have a guy like Mark Richt walk into your living room, a guy like Urban Meyer walk into your living room, you know, most people didn't even know who Gene Chizik was, but when ESPN blows up Gene Chizik's name, and then Gene Chizik walks into your living room, Nick Saban walks into your living room, these names are put on a pedestal in the media. And then when your parents see that person come into your living room, that means everything. Hey, I want my kid to play for that guy.
Well, not to mention, don't forget when they walk into Bruce Pearl's living room. So,
right.
You know, that
you
plays a huge part, too.
Then you have a great dinner.
Yep.
And you have a great dinner.
You take pictures, absolutely.
Right. You have a couple dates there with you. Yeah.
Right. That's you walking into his living room.
Yes. All right, so let's move over to the NFL. Big game, obviously, tomorrow. I don't know if you heard about it, but there's a big game tomorrow.
Who's playing again?
Yeah.
So
we've been talking a lot about Ben Roethlisberger, and we've been talking about whether if he wins this game, if he becomes an elite quarterback, if he doesn't do that well in this game, is he considered an elite quarterback? My standing on it is this. He has to be the reason that they win this Super Bowl for him to become an elite quarterback in my eyes. Scott kind of disagrees with me. No, you don't disagree.
No, you stole that from me, actually. But go ahead.
I don't think I did. Anyway, what are your feelings on Ben Roethlisberger? What do you think he has to do to become an elite quarterback?
I think Ben Roethlisberger has to be an elite quarterback to become an elite quarterback, whether he wins this Super Bowl or not. Terry Bradshaw won 4 Super Bowls for the same team and is not considered an elite quarterback. Ben Roethlisberger doesn't get sacked. He makes plays happen. And his drive against Arizona in the Super Bowl was an elite quarterback drive. But Ben Roethlisberger isn't your Peyton Manning. He's not Tom Brady. I don't think he's an elite quarterback. I think he's a very good quarterback, and I think he's on a very, very, very good team with a very good defense.
Okay, I'm going to give you 6 names right now. I want you to tell me whether you think he's better or worse than these people. Okay?
Yep.
Tom Brady.
Worse.
Peyton Manning.
Worse.
Drew Brees.
Worse.
Aaron Rodgers.
Worse.
Matt Ryan.
Better.
Joe Flacco.
Better.
I'm sorry, what did you say about Joe Flacco?
Better.
And then finally, I'll give you an extra one, Philip Rivers.
Worse.
Okay. Of those,
the reason he's better than Matt Ryan and Joe Flacco is his ability to keep the play alive. I think he's better than Joe Flacco, period. Matt Ryan will be a better quarterback than Ben Roethlisberger is right now, but Ben Roethlisberger's ability to keep the play alive is as important as any other feature a quarterback has.
Okay, fair enough. Okay, before we get to the most important part of this entire show, which is the prop bets, I would like to hear a quick 1-minute breakdown and prediction for the game tomorrow.
Tomorrow you're going to see a very defensive game. The difference between the game is going to be the fact that Pouncey is not playing for the Steelers because B.J. Raji is going to dominate the Steelers' offensive line tomorrow. And there are 2 people in the NFL who can get Ben Roethlisberger down, and that's B.J. Raji and Clay Matthews, and they both play for the Packers, and that is the difference. I just talked about how Ben Roethlisberger can keep a play alive. I think this defense will be able to get Ben Roethlisberger to the ground, which is going to take 4 big plays out and 4 big plays that could win Pittsburgh the game. So I'm going with Green Bay. I'm going with Green Bay by probably 10. I think Aaron Rodgers is the hottest quarterback in the NFL, and he's the hottest quarterback right now, which means that, you know, in the playoffs, and that's the guy who always wins.
We're talking with Ian Rhodes from WSMV in Nashville here on the Weekend Kickoff, 1320 WILS. Ian, Dave has numerous times he's told me how you're the information man down there in Tennessee. What happened with Jeff Fisher and the Titans?
It was just time for them to separate. You know, Jeff Fisher's a great coach. Tennessee can be a good team. Together, the relationship just got stale. You know, it's like when if Tom Brady was to break up with Giselle, they're both good catches for the opposite sex. But if they were to break up because they didn't work together, you know, it's that type of thing. The chemistry wasn't there. It was stale. You know, everybody's pointing fingers. It was just time to go. You know, what I really think happened was Jeff Fisher wanted his son to be on the team, to be a coach.
I did hear that rumor, yeah.
And you know, they said no, which is the same reason Greg Williams just pulled his name out of becoming the coach here, because he wants his son to coach with him. So, you know, there's always been that no hiring of sons to the staff type thing, even though Bud Adams hired his grandson, but when you're the owner, you can do whatever you want. That was part of it, and I think it was just kind of the last straw. It was time to move on. I think it'll be best for both Fisher and the Titans.
Ian, before we let you go, I got some prop bets for you. Scott and I are going to make predictions on these in the last segment of the show, but rapid fire, give me your predictions on this, okay? First of all, yep. How long will Christina Aguilera hold the note Brave in the national anthem over under 6 seconds?
Over.
Over 6 seconds. Okay. What will the Steelers do on their first drive, score or punt?
Punt.
Who gets the first penalty in the game?
Steelers.
Will the Steelers win the Super Bowl and the Penguins win the Stanley Cup?
No.
Okay, and final one, what will be a higher total? Blake Griffin rebounds against the Heat or the Steelers total points?
Blake Griffin's rebounds against the Heat.
There we go. Ian Rhodes, WSMV in Nashville. We appreciate it, man. Have a good one.
Thanks, fellas. Talk to you soon.
All right, we'll be right back. Josh Helmholt from the Wolverine will be with us. We're talking more recruiting. We'll talk Michigan recruiting. And then at 10:35, Rico Beard will be with us to talk Michigan State recruiting. So weekend kickoff, 1320 WILS.